Murfitt, E. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales, Australia. March 29, 1900. Dear Brother E. Murfitt, I received your letter. I thank you for your statement that you will help us. You ask how much the sanitarium building will cost. I cannot tell you this, for I do not know. Dr. Caro tells me that the house that they are now occupying in Summer Hill is sold, and that they will have to move out to vacate it in a few months. We are so glad that you can help us in establishing our new sanitarium. We do not feel like specifying how much you should give. The Lord can make your heart willing to help us in our emergency. The sanitarium in Sydney is now full, but the higher class of patients, those who can afford to pay well, will only remain long enough to take their treatment. They do not like the building or the rooms, and they will not stay any longer than they can help. My brother, we do not wish to make duties for you, but could I have seen you, I would gladly have presented our situation before you. I have been instructed that we should seek to reach all classes of people with the message of truth, the last message of warning to be given to the world. 25 years ago, the Lord revealed to me that the best way in which to reach the higher classes is through sanitarium. These institutions are to be located away from the cities and are to be surrounded with land enough to enable fruit and produce to be grown. In the sanitarium which we are about to erect in New South Wales, provision must be made for all classes. The accommodation and treatment must be such that patients of the higher class will be attracted to the institution. Rooms must be fitted up for the use of those who are willing to pay a liberal price. Rational methods of treatment must be followed. The patients must not be given alcohol, tea, coffee, or drugs, for these always leave traces of evil behind them. By their stay at the sanitarium, the patients are to become acquainted with Seventh-day Adventists and the reasons of their faith. Physicians and nurses are to manifest a deep interest in the physical sufferings of those to whom they minister. As efforts are made to remove suffering and disease, the hearts of the patients will be softened. Every physician should be a Christian. In Christ's stead, he is to stand by the suffering one, ministering to the needs of the sin-sick soul as well as to the needs of the diseased body. To us as a people, God has given advanced light, and we are to seek to gain access to souls that we may give them this truth. As the physicians and nurses in our sanitariums hold out to the patients the hope of restoration to physical health, they are also to present the blessed hope of the gospel, the wonderful comfort to be found in the mighty healer, who can cure the leprosy of the soul. Thus hearts will be reached, and he who gives health to the body will speak peace to the soul. The life-giver will fill the heart with a joy that will work miraculously. Those thus born again will go from our institution prepared to speak to others of the power of him who has done so much for them. Jesus says of them, "Ye are my witnesses." Isaiah 43, verse 10. God grants them a renewal of life and health, that they may go forth to impart to others the knowledge they have obtained, to tell their friends that they may keep well by eating temperately and drinking temperately, discarding tea, coffee, drugs of all kinds, and alcohol in all its forms. They go from the sanitarium as newborn souls, converted and enlightened, knowing that by being temperate in all things and depending on him who gave his life for them, they may work for God. An atheist or irreligious man should never take up the work of a physician. How inconsistent for a physician to stand by the side of the sick and suffering if he cannot point them to a sin-pardoning Savior. How terrible not to be able to tell them of the Mighty One who can heal not only every physical disease, but every spiritual malady. Would that physicians might realize the greatness of the service they could render to humanity if they were able to speak simply and tenderly of the love of Jesus and of his willingness to save souls even at the last hour of life. Many physicians fail to see what a noble influence they might exert by accepting Christ and laying hold of eternal interests. They continue to live a hopeless life, a life in which God is not recognized. They refuse to be illuminated by the light of the world and are in a far worse condition than the one who is suffering from physical disease. What a blessing the Christian physician can bring to the sin-tortured soul. What peace comes to the sufferer as he accepts the Savior. What melody is awakened in the heavenly courts when Satan loses his prey. Physicians are given the work of standing in Christ's stead to the sick and suffering, and they should not be loaded down with burdens of a secular character. They should be free from financial care. A physician needs to have a very close connection with God. Never is he to lose his hold of God's helpful, strengthening power. He is to drink deeply of the water of life, and then lead others to the living stream. The fact that the physician acts so important a part in bringing relief from suffering will naturally place him where he will be regarded with feelings of love and gratitude by those whom he has helped. Let him not take the praise and glory to himself. Let him hide self in the Savior, pointing to Christ as the one who is to receive all praise and thanksgiving. The Lord is the worker. The physician is only the instrument. Without me, Christ declares, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. He says to the faithful physician, I will stand by your side, and as you tell those for whom you work that Christ is all and in all, that he died for their sins, in order that they should not perish but have everlasting life, it will impress their hearts. It is that such work as this may be done that we wish to establish a sanitarium. We ask you to give us a liberal donation. A great work can be accomplished for the Lord by a well-conducted sanitarium. We have demonstrated this in America. To our sanitarium in America at Battle Creek have come lawyers, doctors, judges, and senators to be guarded day and night against the cruel appetite for alcohol, tobacco, and morphine. Eternity alone can reveal the good that has been accomplished for them. They have gone forth to proclaim the glory of God and to honor to his name. We had hoped to have our sanitarium in running order ere this, but we have not received enough money to enable us to arise and build. We desire to erect a plain yet tasteful building with roomy, well-lighted rooms. I feel so thankful that you can help us. I praise God that he has entrusted his means to some who believe the truth, who will use their talents in the Master's cause. You will receive your reward in heaven. I have always used my money as fast as it came in to carry forward the work. The word of the Lord still comes to me, advance, add new territory to my kingdom, enter fields that have never heard the truth, lift the standard higher and still higher. Now is the time to prepare a highway for the King. I have just received word that a third baptismal service has been held in Maitland, and that many people are interested in the Bible readings given. I will now close this letter, thanking you again for your willingness to help us. Yours respectfully.